Welcome to the latest Signs of the Times podcast. This week with Laura, we have Mark Givert, who is here to talk on a variety of health-related topics, from fibromyalgia to chronic fatigue syndrome to... Help me out here, Laura. What else are we going to talk about?
Well, Mark's here to tell us a lot about heavy metal toxicity and how it affects your health, including its correlation with chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, multiple sclerosis, and really a host of really horrible diseases that are proliferating on the planet at an alarming rate. We've heard recently that up to 90% of the populations are pretty much eaten up with candidiasis, and candidiasis is related to heavy metal toxicity, and there's some correlation between that and chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. So Mark has got some tremendous experience in these areas, so we're going to be talking to him about this in some detail. But before we do, I want to introduce the topic and how we found Mark, because I'm sure that most of you have never heard of Mark Givert and the remarkable work that he's doing with chronic fatigue patients and with fibromyalgia sufferers. But the fact is, as many of you know, we haven't been doing the podcast for quite some time. And there are a number of reasons for that, one of which happens to be the state of my health since last year. As many of you know, I was in an automobile accident back in 1994, suffered some fairly severe injuries. After that incident, I went through a long period of therapy, 3 years, in fact, to be able to fully regain the use of my limbs and to get out from under the burden of pretty severe pain. You could say that the accident was actually a beneficial event in my life, because after all of that therapy, I actually knew what it felt like to feel good again. And I was in pretty good shape for quite a number of years. And then, of course, we moved. And after we moved, with stress and dietary changes of the last few years, there were some residual effects, and there were some issues that had not been cleared up at the time of that 3 years of therapy. So 2 years ago, my mother suffered a stroke. This was an extremely stressful time for me and our family. And not too long after that, I started suffering from some additional problems that had been with me for most of my life, that had been kind of shoved into the background and masked by, different therapies. And one of the symptoms was a really frozen shoulder. My shoulder became absolutely unusable, and I was in constant, continuous pain day and night. There were days when I couldn't go down the stairs, and people would have to bring food to me. And there were days when I couldn't even eat because I was in so much pain. So it was pretty bad. I couldn't write, or wrote very little, because I was in so much agony with this arm and couldn't use it. To make a long story short, after investigating my options, where I currently live, surgery was seen to be necessary by myself and everyone around me, because something had to be done. And I had the surgery last April, which is this year, April this year. And after the surgery, I really went into a serious decline. It was, I came out of the hospital and I continued to soldier on, working as best I could and as much as I could, but things kept getting worse. And I knew I had to do something, and I began searching. And I'd found many clues about candida and how candida can be exacerbated by surgery and by the antibiotics, not just the antibiotics, but also by the toxicity of the general anesthesia and the other kinds of medications that you get when you're in a hospital. And I was following these different threads. And those of you who read our forum have a pretty good idea of where my thinking was going, because as I found things, I would post them in the forum. And during the course of all of this reading, I first came across a book called The Fat Resistance Diet, because, of course, I was looking for things to deal with inflammation. I understood that I was inflamed. that led to the fact that I was prescribed, you know, some pretty high doses of a steroid anti-inflammatory. Taking cortisone put me on a high for about 10 days. The pain was relieved, the inflammation was allowed to go down, and the swelling went down, and everything was fine. But what it really told me was that here I am taking an anti-inflammatory, one of the most powerful anti-inflammatories available to medical science, and I felt like a million bucks. No part of my body hurt. I mean, my back didn't hurt, my knees didn't hurt, my head didn't hurt, my thinking was clear. I was Superman. I felt like I was 20 years old again. But then, of course, you can only take a steroid for a short period of time. And I had to stop taking it, and when I stopped taking it, all the pain came back, and I was once again hobbling around like, you know, a crotchety old woman ready for the rocking chair, you know, just, you know, take me out behind the barn and shoot me. So I knew that inflammation was my problem, and I began to look for answers about inflammation. What causes inflammation? Something is in my system that is causing me to be inflamed, and it is causing all of this pain. It must be some food substance. It must be some substance from my environment. Maybe it's in the air I breathe. Maybe it's in the, you know, in the clothes I wear, or in the blankets, you know, on my bed where I sleep. You know, what is the answer? I'm searching everywhere. So I read Detoxify or Die, and Detoxify or Die finally gets down to the bottom line. She talks quite a bit about what causes inflammation, what causes toxification, what causes pain and suffering and misery. And then she gets to the part where it's about detoxify. And this is, of course, the part that I was really looking for. Okay, I know that something's wrong. Just tell me how to fix it. And in addition to taking certain supplements, she recommended the use of an infrared sauna. And that was the main weapon that a person must use to overcome or to detoxify their body. And it's called far infrared. I'm not sure what... Mark, do you know right offhand what the far stands for?
The far infrared, there's different wavelengths of infrared. There's actually near infrared, mid infrared, and far infrared. Traditional infrared is the old-fashioned heat lamps, you know, the red bulbs that people would put on if they had an ache or a pain or something. Far infrared is of that family, but it's an invisible spectrum of light that's contained in sunlight, and the wavelength is something like 4 microns to 1,000 microns.
So in other words, when you're using the far infrared, you are using a kind of light that is basically invisible. You know, do not expect it to glow. Is that it?
Correct.
Okay, so I found out about the infrared sauna, the far infrared sauna, and I began to search for one, and that is how I found Mark. I'm just going to talk about the fact that I found Mark on the internet. I researched all the different kinds of available saunas, from, you know, little tiny rooms where you have a you know, like a heater, and you sit in there, and your whole body is inside this little box. And I looked at the ones where they were like little boxes that are portable that you sit inside. It looks like a little quilted aluminum gizmo, and you have a place where your hands come out and your head comes out. It looks like one of those torture devices in the fat farms and in movies from the 50s. So I, you know, that didn't seem to be suitable. And then I found that they have the domes, and then I discovered the blanket, the far infrared blanket. Well, there's a lot of different kinds of far infrared blankets out there, and all far infrared blankets are not created equal. As it turns out, there are some that are put together pretty shoddily, and Mark is going to talk about that a little bit, so I don't want to anticipate what he's going to tell us. But that's how I found Mark. I called him up on the phone, said, I got to have one of these things, you know. I didn't want to tell him too much because I didn't want to say, you know, hey, I just had surgery recently. I'm really in a miserable state. Because he might have said to me, you know, maybe you better not do this. This might be too drastic. And I didn't want anybody to tell me that anything was going to be too drastic. So I wasn't going to tell anybody what was wrong. So very shortly thereafter, my infrared blanket arrived. Taking the supplements before the sauna, doing the sauna, and taking supplements afterwards. I used the sauna the first day. Now, don't use me as an example, because, you know, sometimes I experiment on myself in ways that other people should not. You know, sometimes that's why I have problems, because I experiment. because I read the instructions and it said, you know, start slowly and so forth. So I figured starting slowly meant 30 minutes the first day. Well, Mark is going to tell us about people who can only tolerate a few minutes of the sauna. Obviously, I wasn't in one of them because 30 minutes and I felt okay. So the second day I did an hour and I still felt okay. And then I bumped it up to an hour and a half and I cranked the temperature up, you know, pretty much to maximum. And that's what I was doing every day after that. Every single day for 5-6 weeks, I was in that sauna for an hour and a half at about 60 degrees centigrade. What's that in Fahrenheit for all of the American listeners? Anybody know right offhand? It's about what, 140 degrees? So yeah, that's about 100. That's a really hot day in the Sahara, people. So that's what I was doing. And not only that, but I was wearing a sweatsuit inside the sauna because, well, you know, I mean, you sweat in a sauna, you're laying in like a sleeping bag thing. And these are great saunas because you get the far infrared rays all the way around your body. It's not just the front of you, and it's not just the back of you, and it's not at a distance from you. It's right up next to you, and you're getting it surrounding your entire body. Well, let me tell you, after about how many... My daughter is here, by the way, tonight, you know, and she's been with me. She's kind of like my diet coach, and she's been with me through this whole thing. And can you remember, was it 2 or 3 weeks before I decided I wanted to go in and start working out in the gym again? It was.
I think it was only about 2 weeks after using the sauna that you started feeling good enough to do working out. Twice a week or so?
Yeah, so I started working out fairly quickly, and you know, quite frankly, I felt really good. And it was such an amazing transformation from being almost completely unable to walk. Oh, and I should mention that, you know, there's some congestive heart failure going on there and some cardiac arrhythmia that I had that was really, really bad within 5 days of doing daily saunas. The swelling in my legs went away completely, and my legs had not, the swelling in my legs had not gone down at all for almost a year. It was a fairly severe problem. And, you know, everybody in here, the science team and my kids, they will tell you that they would look at my legs and wince because they couldn't imagine how anybody could stand something that looked like the skin was going to split at any moment. So within just a couple of weeks, I was really feeling good. And then by the time, you know, the 5 weeks, 5-6 weeks was gone, you know, I felt literally like I had dropped 15, maybe even 20 years from the way I had been feeling. You know, come on, let's face it. I'm not a spring chicken. I'm 56 years old. But I don't believe that people have to feel their age. You know, you can reverse some of this damage. And I learned a lot during this process, reading a lot of books. And then finally I called Mark back up and I said, Mark, we got to have a couple more saunas around here because everybody else wants to get in on the sauna thing. Everybody is aware of the, you know, they've been watching me. They know that it works for me. And if it works for me at my age and in the condition I was in, what will it do for them? I mean, they're all young people. But they're still feeling a little, you know, when you live a life of stress and toxicity, you know, you got to do something about it. So I call Mark back up and I says, Mark, you know, I got to have a couple of more saunas and, you know, maybe you can talk to us about it a little bit and what do you know? And it turns out that Mark knows a heck of a lot about it and there is a lot more going on with these saunas than I ever imagined. And Mark is here to tell us about it and I want to welcome Mark to our little podcast. Glad you could make it down here.
Thank you.
So the first thing, Mark, that I'd like to know is I'd like for you to tell us and tell our listeners a little bit about your own story, how you found the far infrared saunas. That's going to be really interesting.
Okay. Well, my background originally was actually in real estate, in commercial real estate in the UK. And to cut a long story short, I decided to do some traveling, and I traveled all over the world. I went to a lot of remote regions. And I'm sure, as many of you know, when you travel to some of these countries, you're prone to all kinds of things that you can pick up. And you name it, I got it. And actually, after that trip of, you know, going around the world and traveling to many different places, it actually took me something like 7 years to recover. So I paid a bit of a price. However, it was a great journey. And literally, I tried everything that you can possibly imagine to restore your health. I had all kinds of problems. My liver was so swollen. I was in such bad shape. I mean, literally, I could not bend forward that my liver was so inflamed.
He said it was the size of a football, people.
And I also had I had a serious yeast problem. I had a leaky gut. I had parasites. I was experiencing what I thought at the time was fibromyalgia. I was getting numbness in my legs. And today I sort of attribute that. I think that probably went hand in hand with the yeast problem, with the candida problem. But to cut a long story short, I was very underweight. I couldn't digest my food particularly. I had very little energy. I suffered from poor concentration, poor memory, a lot of fatigue. And the body just wasn't working very well. Nothing really worked particularly well. No matter what I ate, I couldn't digest it. And I had a lot of discomfort. And I ended up with irritable bowel and just all kinds of sensitivities and allergies and you name it. I mean, I couldn't tolerate anything at all.
Were you in physical pain?
I mean, sometimes actually after meals, when I ate, I would often have serious stomach cramps and pains in my, and often I would have to sort of run off to the, to the gentleman's room. So there was time that I did have a lot of pain, sometimes in the organs, and sometimes in my legs. You know, as there was some very strange things going on with my muscles, particularly numbness, and I would have some pain going on.
So when did you meet your first sauna?
Well, it took me about 5 years of trying all kinds of things before I got to, you know, to saunering and detoxing. I tried a lot of chemical, well, not pharmaceuticals, but I tried a lot of supplementation and a lot of different dietary regimens and just all the fads, all kinds of things to try and, you know, all kinds of different probiotics. I tried so many different products and finally, in about year six, after I tried, well, you know, all kinds of cleanses, all kinds of detoxes that just really hadn't done it. Eventually, I came to the saunas, and that actually was something like 10 years ago now. So, you know, I was working with far infrared way before it was really sort of ever on the map. And as I found, what I was looking for was something that was going to restore healthy function of my organs, because I knew a lot of the there was a lot of organ damage, and as I said, the organs weren't functioning.
So basically what you're suggesting here is that the far infrared can literally restore function to damaged or even aging organs?
Well, as I said, you know, we've been working with various doctors and clinics, and it's quite interesting. What they have been finding is that there are various substances, toxins, chemicals, heavy metals and pesticides, you name it, a cocktail of toxic substances that have accumulated in the energy production system. And the cells that produce energy in the body, they're actually called mitochondria. And very simply put, those cells will determine, cell replication and repair. And of course, so if the energy production system doesn't work properly, the cells aren't going to repair themselves properly. They're not going to replicate properly. Even, you know, shall we say, the die-off process, whereby the body will literally kill off cells that are no longer healthy or no longer required. That whole process starts to become disrupted. So, you know, why I mention that is because, you know, when you start detoxing with the far infrared, certainly from the work that we've been doing recently, what we've come to understand is that a lot of the substances that have accumulated in the energy system are being eliminated. And so the energy production system starts to work more normally again. And hence, if the body needs to repair, it's actually more able to do so.
Okay, getting back to your introduction to the sauna, you found a sauna. Was it a sauna blanket or was it a...
No, at that time the technology was very, very different. What was being made were basically heating panels that were coated with mineral substances, you know, whether it's quartz or tourmaline or this sort of thing.
Right, and so you were were you lying down and being exposed to these rays, or were you sitting up in a sauna?
Originally, the one of the first models was actually the dome.
A dome, okay, the sauna dome.
And that's what I used. The blankets and a lot of the other technology did not exist at that time.
Right, so the sauna dome was kind of like the primitive version of the blanket.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how long did you do the saunas when you started? Did you...
Well, the interesting thing was when the far infrared was originally introduced, there was no temperature control. So effectively, you were working pretty much at room temperature. There was no real heat. You weren't looking to sweat. The original, you know, a lot of the original equipment was really just to generate, as I said, to stimulate the circulation and start creating some repair in the body. And that's what happened. So what's happened, the evolution, things have changed quite a lot. Now it's sort of taken on a double, there's almost like a dual function now. You're not just using it to detoxify and repair the body, you're also using it to serve as a sauna to promote sweating and detoxification. And that was something, certainly in the very early days, the far infrared worked quite independently of temperature, actually.
So basically, you were using the far infrared and not sweating. You were just being exposed to these frequencies of light.
Mm-hmm.
And this was without sweating, without heat, without any, actually anything that you could feel with your senses, that you were your body was actually beginning to repair and restore itself. It was having a profound effect on your system. Yes.
Yeah. The far infrared, as I said, there was some warmth coming from the unit. Don't get me wrong. It was a pleasant warmth. But as I said, there was no real temperature controls. And as I said, in terms of sweating, that wasn't the point initially. In those days, the point was to take the treatment to stimulate the circulation and to stimulate repair, and also the far infrared without sweating would stimulate the organs and detox through the organs, as opposed to sweating
like through the
skin.
Liver and through the intestines,
absolutely.
And the kidneys and so forth. So there you were taking these treatments. Were you taking them in a doctor's office or at home, or
initially I was taking I was taking them at a practitioner's clinic, and eventually I went on and sort of got my own unit and started doing this
so,
at home.
So
for
undoubtedly,
myself.
the equipment that you were using then was extremely expensive. It was only something that could be purchased by a practitioner and could mm-hmm. not be really used in the home, as the modern products can be. And you were kind of tied to the schedule of the practitioner
mm-hmm.
also. And so then how many sessions did you do? How frequent? How long?
I started to do it quite regularly, and I'd heard stories of, some people being extremely unwell. And, please, whoever's listening to this, I don't encourage you really to go and start doing the saunering for hours and hours. Everyone responds quite differently. It's very beneficial. The results have been really good. But, generally, as I said, the way everyone responds is very, very individual. Some people that we work with that are extremely unwell, they can only tolerate sometimes even half a minute of treatment. That's how delicate they are. Other people, like yourself, they can go in for an hour and a half, without any adverse effects. And the effects generally are detox reactions, because you're cleaning the body out and you're stimulating a huge elimination.
So if you have reactions, it's not that you're reacting necessarily to the infrared or the treatment itself, but that your body is actually doing its job for a change. It's being helped to detoxify these heavy metals and whatever else is damaging your body. So there you were. You were taking these treatments, what, 2-3 times a week?
I was doing a couple of times a week. A
couple of times a week for how long at a time?
Maybe half an hour, 20 minutes, half
so,
an hour.
So that was sufficient even for you to get to a point where you knew that you needed this, you needed a unit of your own so you could extend your...
Well, similar to yourself, you just feel the benefit. You could, it was tangible. You feel good, you have more energy. And you noticed, for me, I noticed my digestion was so poor. Any change, I would notice. So a lot of the discomfort, a lot of the intestinal problems that I was having, it seemed to me that my intestines were starting to heal.
Yeah.
And as I said, I wasn't having the irritable bowel started to ease off. In terms of the digestive problems, the bloating and the gas and everything, that started to ease off. So, please note, I was addressing the nutrition and doing some supplementation and doing some other things as well. But I could actually feel when I was doing the far infrared treatment, I could feel physically.
So how long overall did it take you to finally get to the point where you really felt good?
It was about a year, I would say about a year and a half. And as I said, I had been very unwell for a period of, five years prior to that.
Right. So then...
Can I just ask a question? What is the science behind the far infrared in terms of how it heals? You mentioned, it stimulates circulation, but it also heals. What is the science behind why that happens?
Could I say something? Most of the research has been done in Japan, and one of the problems with that is that there are many papers that haven't been translated. But certainly from the work that we've been doing, what I can tell you is, as I said, coming back to the mitochondrial function, or the energy production system, which basically powers all cellular activity. So certainly what we've been finding is that, shall we say, as the body is cleaned up, it seems as though the energy production system becomes far more efficient. There's also been a tremendous amount of research that talks about the beneficial effects on the cardiovascular system. And normally, for example, heat treatment is contraindicated for people with heart conditions or heart problems. Well, interestingly enough, all the research has been indicating that far infrared is incredibly beneficial for a whole variety of heart problems. And how that relates to answering your question is that there's a dramatic improvement in the circulation, and so consequently, you know, my view is that the circulation to many of the organs is dramatically improved. And as the circulation is improved, because you see, one of the things that happens with toxicity is that circulation is impaired, and how that actually happens very simply is that the cardiac output is reduced, again, because the energy-producing cells in the heart are not working so well if you're toxic, which means the heart cannot pump so effectively, which means that the circulation to all parts of the body is compromised. And the body, of course, is intelligent. And when the heart cannot pump, okay, so effectively, the body's intelligence kicks in and says, right, you know, the heart isn't working so well, I can't, you know, the circulation is not so good, I need to rationalize and ensure that the circulation goes to the most important systems. And as I said, you know, what the doctors have been explaining to us is that the first system that is compromised is the skin. That is considered, in orders of priority, the first organ that, shall we say, the body considers that it can reduce circulation to will be the skin. Hence, a lot of people who are toxic, they normally have cold extremities. Yeah, they're normally quite cold and they don't sweat. I would say, you know, 99% of the people we work with, the skin is not really functioning very well for the reasons I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. It's normally the skin that shuts down first. Then the body says, right, you know, if I need to shut down something else, the next set of organs that can be affected are the muscles. So hence, a lot of people who are toxic, for example, they can have muscle pain due to poor blood supply to the muscles and get a lot of lactic acid produced, creating discomfort and aching and pain in the muscles. And then the next organ that, you know, in this order, by the way, that is affected will be the stomach. So hence digestion is affected, and so on. And, you know, so there's a sequence of events that the body will follow if there's a problem with you know, the blood supply. And so, again, answering your question, if there's a toxic problem, generally one of the first things that's affected is the heart and the amount of blood that the heart can pump around the body. And so, you know, with the far infrared, one of the first things that happens is that it promotes improved circulation. And very simply, the science behind it, the mechanism by which it's thought to work, is the light literally is absorbed by the cells of the body, and on absorbing the light is transferred into heat. And one of the reasons that the far infrared is particularly effective is because you're working with light, a wavelength of light, the depth of penetration into the body and the cells is far greater than, for example, many other heat treatments. And as I said, you're in terms of safety, about 50% of the energy that your body produces is in the form of far infrared. So it's, shall we say, user friendly.
Okay, so you pretty well got fixed with the far infrared. Of course, there was a supplementation. We're going to come back to the supplementation issue, shortly, because I want to get to the point of, you know, that you became absolutely, you went on a mission, and you obviously began to study and to research, and you wanted to share this phenomenal experience that you had with other people. And that's what got you into the work that you're currently doing now, because you mentioned several times, you know, doing, you know, working with different clinics and doctors and so forth. So, you know, clearly you went on a mission, and we'd like to hear a little bit about your mission and, you know, what you do and how you help people and, you know, how you interact with these medical facilities and these doctors and the kind of, you know, the kinds of patients that you work with and see, and the experiences you've had seeing other people recover, and, you know, the kind of problems that you've actually, you know, dealt with other people, because, you know, you're on a mission. We want to know about this.
Okay. Thank you. The impact of my experience was very profound, and ultimately I decided that what I wanted to do was I wanted to share and inform people about this technology, simply, as I said, because it was so profound. As I said, you know, my desire was to restore healthy function. And as I said, you know, in conjunction with some dietary and nutritional elements, which are very important as well. But, you know, with the far infrared, it transpired that, in my opinion anyway, in a relatively short period of time, I was able to restore good health. And not
just good health, because I want the audience to know that Mark is a very good-looking guy. I don't know how old he is, but he doesn't, you know, he doesn't look like old enough to be able to have done all of these things and had all these adventures. You know, I mean, he's, you know, he looks like he's like 25 years old at least. You know,
About 200, actually. No, I'm just kidding. As I said, you know, certainly you touched on a point earlier that was really, really interesting, and this is something that I'm quite passionate about. Today, one of the from the research that I've done and from a lot of the people that I've met, you know, the doctors and people who specialize, for example, in anti-aging, you know, one of the points that they make is, of course, is that generally what's happening in most people's bodies is that the cells are dying at a faster rate than they're being regenerated. So, you know, let's just be clear on this. The aging process is that the cells of the body are dying faster than they're being replaced. So what I believe is possible, and, you know, it seems very reasonable to me, is that certainly you can begin slowing the process of destruction of the cells, and you should be able to be, you should, in my opinion, that you can change that balance. In other words, reduce the level of cell death and increase the rate of cellular repair or regeneration. And consequently, and of course, it stands to reason that if you can regenerate faster than the cells are being, than the cells are dying off, then actually, effectively, you're growing younger and rejuvenating.
And it seems to me that this is a real possibility, because if, as you've mentioned, it's that far infrared is the same frequency that the body itself emits, you know, the frequency of life itself, that by introducing, you know, the far infrared frequency into your body, that you could literally be not just prolonging your life or restoring your health, but literally rejuvenating yourself in completely comprehensive ways. I mean, that's just what strikes me about it, and that's certainly how it felt for me and how it feels for me, because, you know, I continue to do these saunas. It's going to take me probably another year, maybe a year and a half, like it took for Mark to get to the, you know, the complete state of freedom from toxification. But the improvement, you know, in my case was so dramatic that, like Mark, you know, I'm pretty excited about this, and that's why Mark's here, because we want to share this with everybody. And frankly, I think there ought to be an infrared sauna blanket in every home. But we'll get to that later too. So Mark's on a mission, and he began to do research, and then you contacted who and how and what?
Well, very simply, as I said, I wanted to share the tech. I wanted to make sure that people would know about this technology and the benefits of it. And very simply, what I decided to do was I decided to launch a business that would primarily concentrate on informing the medical profession and practitioners about far infrared, what it can do, how it works, and you know, present a lot of the research to them. And that's what we've been doing, and I'm happy to say that there are a number of doctors and clinics that are certainly recommending the use of far infrared, and certainly that we've been working with.
Did you go around, like, for example, and knock on the doors of doctors and say, I want to tell you about this great technology, or did you send them brochures or get invited to conferences and give talks, or, you know, I mean, how did you break through the resistance, you know, the obvious resistance that must exist in the medical community against something that's so phenomenal?
Well, I was very fortunate because you know, Sherry Rogers' work, some of the people that we know and we've been working with, they knew of Sherry Rogers' work, and they knew of her references to far infrared. So, you know, certainly that helped me. But yeah, certainly I attended certain conferences, and you know, what unfolded was that eventually I started to, for example, I'll be presenting in January at the Royal College of GPs in London for a chronic fatigue conference. And what I'll, you know, there'll be a whole number of doctors and professionals there presenting, and my piece of the pie is just presenting on detoxification in the far infrared. So, you know, it has come through conferences and that way as well. But also, as I said, I've been fortunate to be able to meet some really amazing clinicians and doctors and practitioners who are working with the technology.
So basically what you've done up to this point in time is to communicate with practitioners of various sorts to explain to them, to help them to understand the technology and to persuade them effectively to use it with their patients rather than going directly to, you know, the patients, for example, and saying, you know, hey, you need this, you know, get one in your home today. It was for you, it was more like working through the already existing medical profession and trying to change their minds about some of these things and spread the information. Is that correct?
That's certainly how it all started off. You know, we're working more and more people are hearing about us, which of course I'm delighted with. Because by the time a lot of people come to us, they've been from the people that they've been working with in the past, many of these people have been told that, you know, there's very little that you can do, that you're going to have to live with whatever the condition is. And many times even, you know, people are told that actually it's all in your head, it's all psychological. And I understand why they've been told that, and I understand, you know, shall we say, many of the experiences that these people have had. But, you know, what's exciting is that certainly the people that we work with and the way that they work, we've been finding actually that they don't have to live with it. There is something that they can do. And very often, the common factor in many of these ailments and conditions that, you know, that have been very difficult, you know, to provide people some help for, we've been finding very simply that underlying a lot of these conditions, there are, you know, we say have accumulated a cocktail of all kinds of toxicity.
Can you give us a brief rundown of what kind of toxicity we're looking at, where people get it, where they pick it up from?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite amazing. It would be easier to say where they don't get it from. But I mean, you know, very simply, the air you breathe, the water you drink, the food you eat, even the hair dyes. I mean, you know, some of the things we've started to find, some of the chemicals that are used in hair dyes have actually shown up attached to people's DNA. So I mean, really, you're talking about food, drink, air, and not only that, think of this: your skin is the largest organ of your body. All right? And yes, it's meant to serve as a protective barrier, but also, you think about it, a lot of the doctors and many practitioners use the skin for absorption. Well, you know, think about what so many people are putting actually on their skin on a daily basis. And, you know, you may say, well, you know, what I'm putting onto my skin, it's such a tiny, tiny amount on a daily basis. It's very little thing. In life, you know, if you want changes in your life, you make incremental changes, small changes on a daily basis, and suddenly, you know, in a few years down the road, you've made huge changes. Well, similarly with toxicity, you're taking incremental amounts of these chemicals and substances into the body. And initially, you know, if you do it for a few days and for a few weeks, it's not so much of a problem. But the point is, you know, people have these habits of, shall we say, putting things on the skin and on the body for many, many years, year after year after year. And unfortunately, the nature of these substances that are going into the body, they're artificial, often they're man-made and they're chemical in nature. And simply put, the body does not have the means to eliminate these substances. So the body does the only thing that it knows how to do. It knows that these substances shouldn't be in the system and shouldn't be in circulation. But so it does the next best thing that it can do. It hasn't got the means to get rid of them. So the only thing it can do is to put them into storage.
So that's what it does, and it quite often stores them as fat, so that you could almost say with some degree of certainty that anybody who is overweight is probably experiencing some sort of toxicity from environmental toxins, from their food, from their environment, from their water, from the air they breathe.
Well, that actually is exactly accurate. In the press recently, certainly in the UK and some of the national press, there have been articles explaining exactly that. Very simply put, what the toxins do, as you rightly say, they accumulate in the fat. That's certainly one place where they accumulate to begin with. And those toxins, of course, what we've been finding is that the toxins that accumulate in the fat cells disrupt fat metabolism. You know, we spoke earlier about how the chemicals and the toxins have disrupted the general metabolism of the body and the energy production system. Well, you know, as a part of that also, fat metabolism has been interfered with. So we come across a lot of people, for example, who are eating quite normally. They're quite active, and yet for love nor money, they are gaining weight. There's nothing they can. There's hardly anything they can do about it.
I'm raising my hand here.
And it's really interesting because we find that when they begin with the detoxing, they change nothing at all. You know, they're just doing the detox, and they find, you know, they say, "Well, yeah, I'm losing weight. What's going on?" And again, that's very simple. The reason for that is because they're starting to break down and eliminate some of the toxins that have been stored up in the fat.
And when the toxins are let go, then the fat goes too.
Because fat metabolism can start to kick in again.
Yeah.
And it does.
Does that mean then that people who are not overweight have
less toxicity?
Little or no toxicity?
I don't think so.
Not necessarily. It's really interesting, actually, because we find, for example, that if people are overweight, we find generally that there can be some weight loss that can happen. It doesn't happen in every case, but, you know, in a lot of the cases, there is or there will be, as people detox, you know, a change in weight. But the far infrared, it's really interesting, seems to have almost a normalizing effect on the body. In other words, whatever is out of balance, it seems to be that it helps to bring it into balance. So, for example, in my case, I was seriously underweight. Yeah, dramatically so. And I found that when I started using the far infrared, my digestion and assimilation started to improve. My intestines started to heal up a little bit, you know, due to the improved circulation. And what started to happen was I started to put on weight. So generally we find that if people are seriously underweight, it can help them restore, you know, move to a more normal
weight. And that might mean that that particular type of individual, that they don't necessarily store their toxins in fat, but they can be stored in the tissues of, say, the organs or in the muscle tissues or elsewhere in the body. A person can be equally toxic and be thin.
Absolutely,
as somebody who's fat. It's just that each individual is, you know, if people are individuals, they're different and their bodies react differently.
Well, I guess, as I said, you know, the body's intelligent, and if there is fat for the body to store the toxins in, it will put it into the fat. If the fat is not available, then it'll put it somewhere where it can do. Whether, you know, and that can be, as you rightly said, it can be the muscles, the bones. You know, the body will store it wherever it can.
Yeah, let's get a little bit onto the topic of the supplementation that you do when you're doing a detox, because one of the things that Sherry Rogers talks about is that when you start getting a lot of toxic heavy metals, that they effectively block the beneficial nutrients that you're supposed to be getting from your food and beneficial minerals. And not only do they block them, but sometimes they literally push them out and take their place and become participants in cellular reactions that are abnormal, whereas under an ordinary circumstance in a healthy body, there would be, say, this mineral involved in this process, and with the heavy metals coming in, pushing it out of the way, they get involved in the process, and the process goes desperately askew. So there's the problem of not only getting rid of the toxic load, but also supplementation. What is the what have you found to be the main problem with lack of nutrition or lack of minerals, or you know, what is the thing that people seem to lack the most in these processes?
We found with people generally who are ill, we found that they are hugely deficient, often in vitamins and minerals. And one of the main reasons for that is that the toxicity, the body uses vitamins and minerals in its detox processes. So, of course, it stands to reason that if, for example, somebody has been experiencing high levels of toxicity for a prolonged period of time, that the body has gone into, shall we say, overdrive to try and detoxify. And in that process, it's been using up at a rate of knots a lot of the vitamins and minerals that are in storage in your body. Now, as I said, what we find is because of that toxic stress, many of the people that we come to work with who have no idea of this, by the way, but inevitably what we find, and why I stressed the nutrition and the supplementation, is because we find that the majority of these people are extremely deficient in vitamins and minerals. And as I said, you know, certainly, you know, what we're being told and what the doctors are explaining to us is that these vitamins and minerals are essential not only for metabolism and energy production, but for the detoxification processes. So in other words, you know, for people, what a lot of people don't necessarily appreciate is they think, right now I want to detoxify. Well, that's all well and good, but you have to understand that you need the body, you have to have the fuel for the body's processes to function for the detoxification. And that's why I emphasize that the nutrition and the supplementation is an important part. And that's why sometimes people try to detoxify and they find that it's not, they're having a lot of trouble. And it seems as though they're not being able, particularly successfully, to be able to detox. It's because, as I said, they don't have the vitamins and minerals that they actually need. And that's a very important part of the overall program. You have to have, you know, the micronutrients in the body so that the body, number one, can produce energy for the detoxification, and also so that you have the processes, so that the detox pathways have the minerals and vitamins that they need. But, you know, it was, number one on the list really has to be, certainly in my experience, has to be magnesium.
Yeah.
Huge magnesium deficiency.
This is something that one of the books that I came across while I was searching for some answers was Carolyn Dean's book, The Magnesium Miracle. And this really opened my eyes to the fact that magnesium is involved in so many bodily processes and enzyme processes and metabolism processes that a shortage of magnesium can be almost fatal. And the problem there is that magnesium and calcium, you know, work hand in hand. And in our society, people not only do not get enough magnesium, they're getting way too much calcium. And that throws the body further out of balance. We have a member of our group who's a cardiac surgeon, and she has told us that very often when they're doing valve replacement surgery in cardiac patients, they have to use what amounts to a bone crusher to remove the heart valve, because the valves of people's hearts who go in for cardiac surgery have been so calcified that they are literally like rocks, and they have to use a bone crusher to get the old heart valve out in order to be able to sew an artificial heart valve in there. And this is a shocking state, and we hear every day, you know, drink your milk, you know, eat your yogurt, get your calcium, 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 calcium. Nobody ever says anything about magnesium, and yet there was a congressional report, probably 50, 60 years ago, that at that time said that people were so deficient in calcium, magnesium, and the soils themselves were so deficient in magnesium that there was already an epidemic magnesium deficiency in nearly all the people of the American population. This was the congressional report, but we can assume that the same thing exists all over the world, that people are, it's epidemic, the deficiency of magnesium. And this is one of the things that you were explaining to us earlier about, you know, the necessity for having magnesium in the mitochondrial processes. Mm-hmm. And that's, so could you tell us a little bit about that? You know, what happens when somebody who is totally depleted, such as a fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue patient, you know, what happens when you give them, you know, some magnesium supplementation?
Well, I've been very fortunate to be able to work with, you know, a lot of chronic fatigue patients, ME patients, fibromyalgia patients. And why I say fortunate is because a lot of these people have reached a point. It's amazing the range of debilitation. You know, some people are totally bedbound and they can hardly talk on the telephone. That's how little energy they have. You know, to many other people who have been forced to, they're not able to work anymore, and they spend all their time trying to restore their health. And it's really, you cannot imagine the plight of these people. And unfortunately, the health system doesn't really officially recognize the problem. And so they don't necessarily get the help that perhaps they need from the health services. So whatever help they get, they have to pay for themselves. And consequently, you imagine, you know, you've got no energy, you can't work, you have to quit your job. Then you have to spend all your money on restoring your health, but you can't work. It's not a lot of fun.
That's a pretty vicious circle, and it almost seems deliberate, doesn't it?
Well, you know, as I said, you know, they have a lot of difficulties. And as I said, why I'm happy when these people contact us is because certainly the doctors in the clinics that we're working with really are on the cutting edge. And you know, this is a real condition. It's tangible. There are physical factors involved. And as I said, you know, one of the things that people can have done is that they can have mitochondrial function analysis carried out. This work, by the way, is, to the best of my knowledge, is only being done in the UK right now. But you can have literally a test to examine the mitochondrial function. And of course, no surprise, what we find with a lot of the fatigue patients, or in fact, generally a lot of people that are really quite unwell, is that there is an accumulation of chemicals and toxins and substances in the mitochondria that have disrupted the energy production. Some people are only producing energy maybe at 5% efficiency. And, you know, of course, if you're only producing 5% energy, well, it's not a surprise that you have no energy to do anything.
You can't talk on the phone.
Yeah. So, but, you know, what I can tell you is, as I said, it's tangible, it's quantifiable. You know, you can have these things measured. And lo and behold, as I said, we're, you know, certainly the people we've been working with who have been on the programs of supplements, the doctors and the clinics, and they've been doing the of course, what we've been doing, we're finding that people are starting to recover.
And how does magnesium play a part in this mitochondrial? I mean, it's like the fuel for the mitochondria. Is that it?
Yeah, the mitochondria. One of the main things that they need to produce ATP, which is the substance that literally releases energy. You have to have magnesium for that. And inevitably, of course, one of the things we find is that the magnesium levels are, you know, almost totally depleted in the mitochondria. So if there's no magnesium there, you can't even make the energy that you need.
To detox or anything else?
For any process in the body, basically, even even at rest, the metabolic processes that, you know, are going on, you have to be able to produce energy. But certainly for detoxification, you know, every molecule of toxin you're going to pull out of the body, you need, a molecule of ATP or your energy produced for that. So, of course, if you can't produce energy for metabolism, how are you going to detox?
So probably one of the need to do would be to do something about, you know, supplementing what they're depleted in terms of minerals and vitamins, and then work on detox.
The exciting thing is that there's a package that has been developed by a lot of these doctors that they call the mitochondrial package, and it's specifically geared and designed to literally reinfusing and jump starting the energy system, because that's where that's really what you have to have happening to begin with.
What's in this package?
You know, there's a variety of substances and supplements. And what I would say is, of course, everyone is quite different. You know, I'm not the doctor. I'm not the medical professional,
right,
who is prescribing these things. But you know, what I would say to you, there's a range of substances, and they do include, for example, D-ribose, which is, for example, a sugar.
Right.
Okay, and that is a sugar that is used for the production of in the production of ATP, which is the energy producing substance. So literally, it's like that almost, you could say, is direct food for the mitochondria to produce energy. So, you know, D-ribose is a particular sugar that is needed or is helpful in producing ATP, which is the energy production molecule that the mitochondria actually manufactures. So D-ribose is one. Again, particularly magnesium. And again, you know, one of the difficulties with magnesium is that certainly some of the people we spoke to, what they explained to us was that it's a bit of a catch-22, because if you're extremely deficient in magnesium, you're not going to be able to absorb it orally. So, of course, everyone wants to supplement, but, you know, it's catch-22. How do you get, you know, the magnesium up? So, basically, you know, there are ways that the doctors can increase the magnesium in the body without doing it orally. And once the magnesium levels have been increased in the body, then you can start working with other means of supplementation, because the body can start absorbing, you know, magnesium. So magnesium, of course, is one of them. And also, again, actually CoQ10.
CoQ10
is very important.
Very interesting.
You know, that you know, that has a lot of different functions. One of them is antioxidant, but also it's again, I understand that CoQ10 is particularly important in some of the mitochondrial processes. You know, there's a whole range of other substances. Vitamin D, for example, vitamin D3 to be precise. We find a lot of people are very deficient in vitamin D, which is crucial for a lot of the metabolic processes and hormone production and all sorts of things. And most people, you know, wouldn't necessarily think about vitamin D, but it makes complete sense, because, of course, a lot of people that are not well, they're unable to go outdoors, so they're not getting daylight. And if you're not getting daylight, you're not getting what you need to produce your daily dose of vitamin D.
Wow. So, some of these people are in pretty bad shape, and it's just like they get into a cycle of a feedback loop of just getting worse, and everything they try to do just makes it worse, and then getting, you know, then they try even, it's just horrifying to think of somebody being bedbound because they simply have no energy, because what little energy they do have is just keeping them alive.
Exactly. It's actually what the doctors have explained is that what they actually have is secondary heart failure. What the body has actually done is literally managed the systems to the point. It's basically shut down everything that it doesn't need to use, and the body has got to the point where it is actually preventing heart failure.
It's just keeping the heart going and nothing else.
Well, you know, the essential systems, of course, right. The brain, the heart, and the essential systems. But a lot of these people, what's happened to them, the body is functioning in a way. You know, for example, many people that are bedbound or they can hardly move. The body is ensuring that there is no stress on the heart that will cause heart failure. The body's protecting itself. That's actually what's going on.
Wow.
They're actually in secondary heart failure. And as I said, you know, particularly with the far infrared, there is so much of the research that's been done that indicates that it's particularly effective for, you know, the chronic heart failure problems.
So we're looking at this far infrared sauna as being a possible almost miracle cure for people with fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue and, you know, even arthritis, which is kind of a related autoimmune disease that's probably a problem of energy and toxicity.
Well, the nice thing about the far infrared is that it is anti-inflammatory. And as you were mentioning, for example, with particularly with lymphedema and any kinds of swelling, it will bring swelling down actually quite rapidly without discomfort. As I said, a lot of the research indicates that it is anti-inflammatory, and that's, you know, directly what we've experienced, particularly also with regards to pain relief. For pain management, it's absolute. But you see, you're not just dealing with symptoms. It will help with pain. It will help with reducing the inflammation. But again, also, as I said, you know, you're improving circulation. You know, what I explain to people is, you know, they come to the far infrared with a view of detoxifying. But what we explain to them, and just to let you know a bit more about what we're doing, we're not just providing equipment, we monitor and supervise programs for people. As I said, you know, we've got a lot of experience in working very closely with you know, the chronic fatigue patients and ME patients and fibromyalgia patients. So what we do is we provide some support because, as I said, it's very, how everyone responds is really quite different. As I said, some people who are more active and quite well, they can, you know, stick themselves in the sauna for 45 minutes and not have a problem. But there are other people who are so delicate, they can do half a minute to a minute and have the hugest detox reaction. So, you know, what we have to do is, our goal is to empower people so that they know what to do and how to do it and what to expect. So really, you know, ultimately, the support that we give is to empower them so that they can do it for themselves. And also, as I said, because many of the people are so critical, our key is that we want people to be able to do this at home. People can't travel. You know, they can't get to clinics. They can't get to doctors. So, you know, our goal was to be able to, we wanted to provide people with a means of not, they didn't need to go anywhere.
Right.
You know, they'd be able to get the regimen and the regime, the supplementation and nutritional guidance from the doctors. And as I said, they'd be able to do the far infrared treatment at home. And one of the reasons it's so successful, of course, is because they can do it at home. And you know what? The other thing is that it's actually, it's so nice. It's like, it's almost like being
it's
in the warmth of the sun that's comfortable.
It's wonderful.
And you know, again, these people have suffered so much and experienced so much discomfort that, of course, to do something that actually makes you feel good, you know, that's something quite new, which is, of course, is helpful.
Well, okay, now let's talk a little bit about, you know, equipment, because you've obviously looked at a lot of different equipment. You've done some research on and tried out or experimented with, or, you know, some of these doctors that you've worked with, they, you know, must have done so. And can you tell us a little bit about equipment? Because, you know, people are going to say, well, you know, a really good sauna blanket is, and I have to say, I think the sauna blanket is far and away better than any other type of sauna, you know, for the reasons already mentioned. But it is a fairly expensive piece of equipment. But then if you compare it to what people spend on drugs, you know, what people spend on doctors, I mean, the sauna, you can buy the sauna for maybe a couple extensive doctor visits and medical tests and a few prescriptions, you know.
What we explain to people is ultimately that it's way more economical than the doctor's visits and the clinic visits and you know, a whole
and it
range
actually
of
works.
Well, yeah, I mean, as I said, you know, we have been getting nice results. You know, please don't get me wrong, I wouldn't claim for a second that it's an overnight miracle cure, but what we do explain to people is that if you're willing to do the work and work regularly and consistently with the treatment, you're going to see some benefits. And that's what we've, you know, generally that is what we have been seeing.
So have you seen some saunas that are, like, you know, maybe fake? I mean, do people sell saunas that do not really deliver the far infrared?
We had, to begin with, a real problem in ensuring that we got what we wanted and that the equipment was made to the kind of standards that we needed. Inevitably, you know, like everything, there's all kinds of stuff being manufactured and put out there. And, you know, as I said, we had a lot of trouble in terms of ensuring that what we had made for us was to the kind of standards that we needed. And, you know, I don't really want to go into necessarily what everyone else is doing. I can only tell you what we're doing. And, you know, we've been working with, you know, a lot of the doctors and clinics for many years. And we've, you know, our equipment, what we had to have, you know, extremely good quality equipment, is by no means the cheapest. And, you know, there's reasons for that. You know, again, we had to ensure that the equipment that we have been using is extremely safe and that the quality is extremely high. And, you know, over the last couple of years, certainly that's been demonstrated to be the case. And certainly I have heard that, you know, there is equipment out there that isn't necessarily generating far infrared or the full spectrum that you need. As I said, I can't comment on that. Those are just things that people have fed back to me. All I can tell you is, you know, that what we use and what we have has been certified and tested, and we have all the certificates. And as I said, certainly from the results that we've been getting, it sort of speaks for itself. It's very clear that, as I said, you know, we went to extreme lengths to ensure that what we have is certainly the best that we could get. And also in terms of, as you were saying, in terms of, you know, really the most effective unit and certainly the most popular, the blanket does fit that bill. As you said, because you just get 360-degree coverage from top to toe,
right,
and it doesn't get any better than
And you're not stressed by having to sit up for any long period of time. You can lie on your bed. I put mine on the bed. I watch movies while I'm in the sauna, you know, listen to music, whatever. And clearly from what you've been saying, I probably don't even need to make it so hot, you know, and still get the benefits.
The nice thing actually about the far infrared is that we work with a lot of people who, because they don't sweat, of course, they have no temperature regulation going on. So, of course, if they are experiencing a lot of heat, they overheat. Yeah, they can't tolerate it. So many, we're used to working with a lot of people who don't sweat necessarily, and they overheat. And that's one of the reasons that the far infrared is so good, is because you can work at less than body temperature and you can have people sweating. You know, we've had people working at 30, 32 degrees Celsius, okay, sweating extremely. Yeah, now that's less than body temperature.
Oh.
So the way the far infrared works is the efficacy of it is not really temperature dependent. And, you know, the common thinking or the conventional thinking is that, oh, you know, if you're doing a heat treatment, it's got to be hot and it's got to be high air temperature. But how you experience far infrared in nature is, for example, if you were outside on a cold, sunny winter's day, let's say the air temperature is 0 degrees, you look up at the sun, the air is very cold, but you look up at the sun and lo and behold, your face and your body, you start to feel warmth. But the air temperature is still cold. That warmth is far infrared.
I see.
And as I said, you know, a large amount of the energy produced by the body is in the same form, actually.
I've heard some people talking about like what they call far infrared shorts or mm-hmm. scarves or, yeah, you know, garments and so forth. You know, what are these things and do they work?
They're very different to the equipment that we're using, and how they actually work is, you remember I mentioned earlier on that we were talking about how minerals, yeah, if they're heated, will generate far infrared. Well, similarly, what the technology that a lot of the clothing is using is that they have sort of ceramic fibers interwoven into the materials, and what happens is, it's working in a different way. What happens is the far infrared generated by your body literally activates the ceramics in the material, which will then reflect back to your body.
So you're not getting far infrared from an outside source. You're just reabsorbing your own.
Correct. Effectively, yes.
So if you really need some far infrared rays from some other source to kind of replenish or warm you up or or give you a boost, you're not going to get it from wearing a pair of shorts.
Not in that way. The one of the main things that the far infrared wear, or you know, the garments, one of the reasons that it's helpful for people is if some people, for example, are extremely cold, they have cold hands or cold feet or cold parts of the body, and they have a problem with keeping warm, it can help in that, certainly in that respect. And don't get me wrong, you know, anything people are doing, the more far infrared they're going to get, even if it's saving their own, you know, emitted far infrared, you know, that's going to be good, but it's not working in quite the same way as, shall we say, having a generator of far infrared that's going to literally charge up the body. It's you know, it's helpful, you know, absolutely, and I think it's quite a good thing. I tried a far infrared jacket some time ago, and it was the warmest thing, and I had a far infrared quilt, and I was so hot I couldn't sleep, you know. So you know, there are benefits. You know, I would say that the far infrared garments and fabrics and things, I think they can be a useful part of the toolkit to help people.
Right. Okay. So, well, this has been a really interesting and enlightening discussion. Do you think there's anything that we haven't covered for the listener that we need to touch on before we conclude this most interesting interview?
I think one of the messages that we wanted to convey to people is a very simple message, and that is, today toxicity is a fact of life. And one of the things that we are hoping to do is to inform people about what they are being exposed to, and in the home, in the workplace, in the air, in their water. You know, it's real. And how do we know it's real? It's real because we know what we're finding, the chemicals and the toxins that have accumulated in people. And very simply, you know, if there was one thing I wanted to sort of convey to people today, it is that just like you would go to the gym or do some physical exercise to maintain your physical health, a fact of life today is that if you want to maintain and sustain good health, you're going to need to detoxify on a regular basis. Just as you keep fit, you're going to need to detoxify regularly. And, you know, the areas that really need addressing are lifestyle, environment, and diet.
And the way you can get a little help to do this is you can contact Mark at Get Fit Limited, and he has a website at www.get-fit.com. And if you need to get a hold of him in a hurry, you can call him at country code 44 208-445-5412. And again, that's Get Fit Limited. Mark has probably the best sauna blanket that is out there available. I've seen some that were cheaper, but I don't know that I would rely on them. And Mark's do come with a guarantee. And if there's anything defective about the unit, you know, he's not going to hassle you around and say, "Oh, well, we'll get it fixed." You know, you send it back, he'll send you another one. Is that correct, Mark?
Yeah, and I would also add that actually we haven't really had any problems. Things have gone very well, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, I can talk with some, with the experience that we've had. We've had really good experience with this equipment, and for us that's the most important thing. We haven't really had any problems. And
I haven't had a minute's trouble with mine. Not 1 minute.
And just one other thing, what I would like to say also is to people that, you know, we have a lot of people come to us who don't necessarily have support from a practitioner or a doctor who understands what we've been talking about today. And certainly one part of our service, something that we're very happy to do, is to point people in the direction of medical professionals who really understand what we're talking about. They're living it, they're working it, and they're on the cutting edge, and they're helping people recover. And that's what we're experiencing. People are getting better.
And Mark, are you going to be writing a book for us soon?
Well, it's been on the agenda, and I think it's going to have to happen.
I think so. Is anybody,
no pressure.
Anybody got any more questions for Mark? I think we've had, you know, a most enlightening talk tonight, and I hope that everybody enjoyed it, and I hope that everybody gets as interested in feeling better and detoxifying and rejuvenating as we are. Because let's face it, in this world, you know, they're always finding new and better ways to poison us, and we just have to be clever and figure out the ways to detoxify ourselves. So thanks and good night. This is Laura signing off from Signs of the Times.